tell me more about the Blue Laws in Stowe and what that was like as an innkeeper.
Well, the town was dry and everybody wanted to drink. And Waterbury sold alcohol and Stowe didn't.
Do you remember what the time period that we're talking about?
Yeah, well, when I came to Stowe in 46, yeah. It was dry. And it was dry until Parker Perry from the Green Mountain Inn finagled a vote of the town that allowed us to, because he wanted to have a bar. He was one who started the whip. I don't remember the date on that. And my husband and I were the first bartender and barmaid at the whip.
I was going to ask about that.
For 1 year. It was more or less across the street. We see, 46, the town was dry. I would say in the 50s that happened. But they used to make, Waterbury was referred to as Liquorberry. And if the guests got home in time, they would drive down, or they would tell us what they wanted, and we would get it for them. And our regular guests used to leave their bottles under the kitchen counter with their name on it. And so they were the ones that would come in and sit at the table and have drinks with us while I was fixing dinner. It was quite a happy time. And then when the town became wet, the law was that you were not allowed to stand and drink. And if you were sitting at the bar and a table became available, the bartender had to carry your drink from the bar to the table.
What was the logic behind that, Jim?
I have no idea at all. But that soon disappeared, too, with a lot of other things. But that was, in the beginning, this was the Stowe woodenware factory was the sort of the main business in town, that as I remember it. And the owners of the various businesses in town didn't want people to... Oh, they carried them on the books for groceries and stuff. They'd lend them money. And so at the end of the month, the salary was pretty much paying back what they had borrowed from the company. They were really company employees. I'm trying to put that one together now, how that worked. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was in all the businesses in the area. And they didn't want people drinking up the family's grocery allowance, too. It was a way of controlling alcoholism, sort of. That's the Blue Laws. And, yeah, that all happened when Parker orchestrated. He was very good. That really was an orchestrated vote. He had everybody's name. He knew who was going to be for it. He knew who didn't have a car to get to the polls. Or he would check and see if so-and-so who said they would vote had come and voted, and he'd call them up and send cars for them and stuff. And he managed to get it passed.
And so then you worked there at the whip.
Only that one summer.
The first year, soon
yeah.
after.
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience then.
There were certain regulars who came in to drink, like the Mr. White, and I can't remember his first name now. He was the one who drove the stage to the top of the mountain, to the Mount Mansfield Hotel on top of the mountain. And, there were quite a few regulars at the bar. But that was just a summer job. And when winter came, we had our own thing to do. And it got busier and busier.